Son of Sector free to be free indeed. Good to be free tonight. Amen. Well, this song tells about, it's an old hymn, you know it. And it tells about the Christian life, amen. A lot of Christians need to get in on it. How that he leads you along, amen. We need to have an ear to hear or it can lead you, amen. I don't want him to have to get a hold of me like he did Lot. Grab him by the arm and get him out of town. Amen? No, sir. I want to be able to hear. In caves, green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God feeds his children along. Where the water's too low, bathed weary ones, please God, please dear children along. Come to the water, come to the flood, come to the fire, but all through the blood. Come to great sorrow, but God gives the storm. In the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mountain where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children along. Sometimes in the valley, the darkest of night, God leads his children. Come to the water, come to the flood, come to the fire,
thy golden sword to be the Lord's Savior. I want to see the Savior and think of your in him the move of the call. You
tonight, good to be back here in the house of the Lord. I've been saved 30 odd years and I've never got used to going to church. I don't do much of anything else. I spend the greatest part of my life either sitting on a pew or standing behind a pulpit. When I don't have anything else to do, I'll go home and listen to tapes. I'm addicted to this stuff. Amen. I love it. I thank God for saving me and putting me into the ministry. I appreciate it. Appreciate what God's doing. If I didn't have any more religion than some folks, I'd just quit. I really would. I couldn't have it. Sunday morning religion never did, just never appealed to me. I told the Lord I'd do anything He wanted me to do except pastor a Sunday morning crowd. I couldn't do that. I couldn't handle it. And our church on Sunday morning, we have about maybe 275, and Sunday night we have about 225, and Wednesday night we have about 225, and I'm consistently trying to run them other 50 off. I have a hard time with a Sunday morning crowd. Amen, I really do. And I just don't, you know, I don't know what good that is. I know some people work, and that's only what time they can come. Thank God they do come. But I have no time for a Sunday morning religion. Amen. I believe I ought to worship God on Monday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and I learned this a long time ago. If you don't live for God, you don't have to get your pastor. You don't have to love it. I don't care who you are. I have a friend out in Texas, Dr. Joe Wentz. We started preaching together, and he's been pastor of the same church about 25 years. Even missionaries, they come and join his church, and they come down and say, we want to join. He said, okay, I'll talk to you. I said, got a big church, runs about 500. So he takes the missionary back to make your wife to join this church. They said, well, we feel like God will be a member of a good church. He said, yeah, but you want me to be your pastor? Or do you just want to use our church's influence in our name? You'd like me to be the pastor? That means if you're in a foreign country somewhere, you get in trouble, I'm going to come down there and pray with you and bury you dead, and you're going to send an offering every once a month to your church and all that. I mean, you know, you're joining the church, aren't you? No, well, you're joining to get in. You're not just, now you're joining. Yeah, I guess they will just ask everybody that. What you joining for? I was at church one time, a guy was joining. He was passing out cards. He had a cleaner. I don't know why he joined. All right. In our Bibles, in the 6th chapter of Genesis, the Bible said it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fat, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil only continually. The Bible speaks here of man becoming evil. It speaks of his thought life. That his thought life was completely captured by the devil. And I know there was some monstrosities in that day and time, but somehow the devil had invaded the mind of man and got a hold of his mind, and when he did, he became evil continually. He had a hold of his thought life, he got a hold of his heart, and made him an evil, evil man. Now, it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing. I've always hated the creep. Amen? I've always hated the creep. And he crept in unaware. Amen. He's a creeper. And the fowls of the air were repenting me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'd like for you to take verse 8 and verse 9 and hear what I did and kind of put them together, if you will. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we talk about grace a whole lot, and we should. We talk that we're only saved by grace, and that's really the truth. But verse 8 and verse 9 goes together. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now the Bible said that Noah found grace. And the same grace that he found began to perfect his life and sanctify and cause this man to walk with God. That's right. Not because he had saving grace, but he also had walking grace. Amen. I like that. I really do. I kind of believe they go along together. I've always been preaching that anyway. And Noah, they got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with vials. That sounds like the morning paper. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now this is strange. And God said unto Noah, a grace preacher. Now this grace preacher had a walking salvation. He had a building salvation. He built something for the glory of God. He was a worshiping grace. Amen. And God said unto the Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. We begin to look here, and the Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so I begin to look here, and the first thing I want you to look at is the society that Noah lived in. And I'm traveling up and down the land and nearly every week, and the same stories everywhere. Nobody here in this town is unsaved. And that's the way it is in Houston. You go talk to anybody, everybody's saved. Until we get through talking to them. I guess so it doesn't make any difference to me. If you tell me you're a Baptist, I just, you know, ask you how long you expect to live and what you're going to do when you get to hell. I quit dealing with people it's no use talking to them about it. I mean, 99% of people that you deal with is unsaved. They hate the church. They hate God. They hate the Bible. They hate God's man. They hate the preacher and everything. So you might as well be honest with them. And that one of my men was working the day, and a big Baptist preacher was there working in the same place, and Brother Sides was putting up the mail, and this preacher, he was laughing, and he said, you're one of them fundamentalists, aren't you? He said, yeah, I'm one of them Baptists that's going to heaven. He said, you're one of them going to hell again. And he just kept on, I said, I have to know. And I pastor a church on 400 people. He said, I know it. He said, you're one of them. He said, we had one like you saved the other day. He said, he got saved in our church, the Baptist preacher. He said, you've been saved. And of all this God just got mad mad. He said, what you mad about? He said, if you change, that wouldn't bother you. He said, you're coming here lost. And the next day, this guy asked him out for dinner. He said, you really believe I'm lost? He said, no, I don't believe that. I know you are. He said, I've been watching you for years. You don't witness anybody. You don't care if all these people go to hell. You're lost. You're lost. And that'll kind of join you up, you know. Yeah. You said, well, he probably is lost. Well, maybe he is, but anyway, that'll help you. I'm lucky. Nothing else will help you. At least you go out and say, well, at least one thing about it, the man I work with thinks I'm lost. His wife probably thinks he is, his church member thinks he is. It'll help him, amen? And so we live in a strange society. And God has called us for one reason, and that's to preach to this society. Not that society, not the future society, but right now we're to deal with the society that we live in. And so, this Saturday we joined, y'all was out on the street, and the mayor was coming by. And Rick Wilder, he kicked his hand up, he's a big German crowd, and he kicked his hand up and tells the mayor of Houston, you know, where she's been going. They ain't nothing else to do. Miss Whitmire is going to go to hell when she dies. Very religious woman, but she's going to go to hell when she dies. But when she gets there, they're going to say, Shady Acres told you where you were coming. It says, one of the mothers upside down here had a sign said, prepare to meet thy God. Amen? Amen? Now, y'all really don't believe this. And many of you say, y'all are radical. Well, and how's yours doing? I used to be there and say, every great soul in an Irish song that I ever met was kind of an obnoxious fellow. You ever notice that? You've had some nuts, I'm the old Bill Trout. He's dead in heaven now. But old Bill just walked up to everybody and he said, Yankee, got saved when he was 47 years old. He said, boy, you're going to hell. I'm saved. When did you get saved? And before you know it, he had you on the defense. You're kind of, Bill won people to God. Besides, in our church today, old Brother KD, all of this, people who are stolen or obnoxious. My dad, he's a real strange old man. He's had a stroke run 5 or 6 strokes. And he walks around and he just is pottery like this here. And just this pottery, 77 years old. And he pottered, I called home this week. And my mama said, that old crazy fool is down at the rest home. Put his hand. He done pottered down there and told that bus to see the senses where there's a going. An old preacher in our town, old cowboy preacher, 7'1", Brother Johnny. You know it. And old Jack, his name is Jack too. Old Jack, old ex-cowboy. And Jack's right up at 80 years old. And he's a big old man. They have a senior citizen, all the senior citizens. And he got out there and he said, it's good to have all you old people here. How many of y'all going to hell when you die? Oh, well. Yeah. You say, brother, what? You wouldn't talk to them old people like this. Hey, honey, it's the end of the road. Somebody's gotta warn them. Old Jack Bunny asked him to hold up her hand. How many's going to hell?
And the preacher told me, he said, his sermon message, he said, I didn't believe it. He said, that big old man preached to them people like he was calling them people down on the slums down there somewhere. They're going to the same place. You can't beautify this message. Listen, this man had a society to preach to. I want you to notice the society that he lived in. The Bible said they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and knew not. In other words, it was an ignorant society. They weren't too smart. And we're living in that society today. They're not too smart. And when you tell them about Christ, they got all the answers. When they don't even know the question. Amen? But now this society was satanic in style. I said the society that Noah lived in and preached in was satanic in style. I'm telling you, the devil was moving in his time.
Oh, you said, Brother Wood, it ain't never been like it is now. Oh, yes, it was, too.
I'm telling you, that was some strange flesh back in that day and time. I don't know what all was going on, and I don't claim to know, but I'm telling you, that was some monstrosity born in that time, and I'm looking for it to happen any day in my time and your time. Yes, sir. I've seen some pictures of some of these weirdos are saying, bless God, they look like their mama had a monstrosity. Amen? Amen.
I just sometimes want to write him a letter and said, would you please send me a picture of your mama? I'd like to see her. I mean, I'm sending a guy look like a gyrilla, man. That's right.
Amen. And so this society was satanic in pride, amen. I mean, the devil was moving, and the Bible said he had captured every thought and every intent and blasted their heart and darkened their mouth and fixing to damn their soul.
That's one hope. The preacher said that. He said, didn't win many, done exactly what God told him to do.
And that's all I'm supposed to do. He's satanic in pride. And then they were sexual mad. They were sexual mad. Look at that. Where the Bible said they, he said they were giants in the earth.
Oh, you said, oh, what I don't believe there was angels and, well, I don't care what you believe. I'm telling you, some funny people were born from them. There some strange monstrosities and giants born in that day and time. That's all I know.
Bless God, I've seen people get married this day and time, lost people married unsaved people, or saved people married unsaved people. I never saw no giants born from them. I've seen some nuts born from some of them. Amen. Some wicked people come out of them. I ain't never seen no monstrosity. But the Bible said, in the minute it happened, God saw the wickedness of man was great. The greatest wickedness that there was right here. And they were sexual mad. And I'm telling you today, you live in, the fellow on TV, he can't even tell a joke unless it's got something to do with sex. They got something to do with sex. I mean, they can't even advertise a car. They can't even sell a television. They can't even sell nothing unless it's got something to do with sex. They can't write a song. I'm telling you, they can't do nothing. If you take a sack off the radio and the phone, it's doomed. Every song, every rock group, everything is right around sex. And furthermore, it is rampaging even in religion. It went mad. It went crazy. We never saw. Or you tell me, preacher, it's always been this. It ain't always been this way. I was raised in the slums, and you son, I'm telling you, I ain't never seen what I'm seeing now. I ain't never seen little 11, 12-year-old girls lined up with the one abortion clinic in all of my life. I ain't never seen nothing like this. Them kids in Houston, I read the other day, 265 of them under 13 years old had babies that year. Well, tell me it's always been this way. It ain't always been this way. I asked my mother, I said, when in your lifetime did you hear of an 11-year-old girl having a baby? She said, I ain't never heard of such a thing.
I said, well, I asked my dad, I said, if it's always been this way, when did you hear in your lifetime that a man was chasing a little 10-year-old boy down the street crying to love? He said, I ain't never heard of it. No, you're living in a strange time. I'm telling you, there's sex gone mad. Now, you don't believe what I'm fixing to tell you, but when I said it today, one of the preachers out here in this state come down to Houston. He said, I want to see everything. I took him out here in Houston, and he looked at some of that pornography and what have you, and them little bitty kids in that 10 and 11 years old, and he got sick on the street and sold up right in the middle of the street. Now, you can't have it. You stick your head in the sand. I'm telling you, we're living in a sick society, and the next move has been the boy, but the next move is the 9 and 10-year-old girls, and you'll begin to see them on Playboy and what have you. It's headed that way right today. Everybody in the news world today says that the next thing on the agenda, man's done tried everything to marriage children. The laws, they tried to pass a law just a few months ago, a preacher friend down rise up there in Washington, D.C., and they tried to remove that it wouldn't be against the law to molest a child under 12 years old. You got to get them under 12 years old. That's right. With sex gone mad. You say, I don't like this sermon. I know that you need it. Amen. The wrong things I don't like, I just take it anyway. Mama said, Castor is good for you. I never have believed that, but she gave it to me anyway. Amen. Amen. And God saw that the wickedness, this is the society lived in. They were satanic in style. They were not too smart. They were sinful. They were actually supermen. Amen. Remember, Paul? They were supermen. We see some things going on in this chapter that never went on. But we're seeing some things going on in this chapter. They're supermen. I mean, you take a nut like the Beatles, and he's walking down the road, and so I've got 135 meters. Now, that takes a super brain to track 135, 140 meters. He died with $140 million. And you take old Elvis Presley,
He's shaking in hell tonight. I don't care what you have to say.
He died and escaped the hell's end and they went to his wigwam. Amen? You got that? But he mashed together a fortune. Why, Brother Jack? We're seeing something that nobody else has ever saw in the history of the world. These people were selfish, they were strange, but the thing is, the preacher came, and they were satisfied. And here we are. This is our society. Okay? Now, we could sit around, Brother Tom, and we could dwell on that our society parallels with this society here. But what has that got to do with this man that found grace? Not one thing in the world. That society's wicked, that society's strange, it's selfish, it's sinful, it's holy, but God will somebody to preach to them. God will somebody to hand them a tract. God will somebody to tell them that Jesus died for them. Hey, my responsibility is to this society. We don't want to believe that. Brother John, my wife told me this. She said, I went down the street and said, I just want to speak for myself. And they down a hand that place. Brother John had a special day, a Memorial Day parade. And he had some plaques made up with a flag. And she said, I noticed that young men would take those plaques. Young ladies would take the plaques. Old ladies would take the plaques. A black man would take the plaques. And she said, the brown people, they would take the plaques. And she said, those men from 40 to 55 in a business suit ain't going to take no plaques. Why, preacher? That's the pride of life. That's that period of pride of life. And see, that kid wild in the classes. You reach him and tell him. But John, you preach, that's your burden. John goes with the kind of the wealthy people that come out of them big office buildings, and he just stands there and preaches to them. What are they going to do about it? That's not my responsibility, what they do about it. My responsibility is that they hear that somebody's dying for me. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is offering that fact. If he don't take that fact and burns in hell, that's between him and God. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll be between me and God if I don't warn the wicked from his wicked way. Amen, brother. Amen. So this is a society we live in. In Milton, Florida, everybody's saved. In Houston, Texas, everybody's saved. And living in that nugget on down, it ain't in the heart of nobody saved. Don't answer your question. Got here in this first public school down there, probably 2,000 kids in there. So them 2,000 kids ain't never going here. They live in a sinful society. They're out behind the school line in Houston. I don't know how they're here. How many we got? About 25 high schools, I don't know, Johnny. About 25 high schools. And just great numbers of junior high schools. Probably 50 to 75 big schools out in Houston. And every morning our boys go out there, and they get out on them streets, and they hand out signs, and the police try to stop them, and the officials try to stop them, and everybody said, you kids alone. And you know what they tell us? They said, don't you believe in church, the difference between church and state? And I said, you're talking about mixed up. You tell me I can't give that kid a fact when he's going into the schoolhouse, but you'll hire men to come down and deal with them when you're in jail. Again, when they get in prison, you let our men come down and sit in counsel with them and deal with them and pray with them. That is state property, isn't it? That's some old mixed stuff. But our men, our boys, are just thousands of Christ every morning. 7:30, 8 o'clock, we can kill thousands going into school. Who's going to tell them, Brother Johnny? They're from Catholic homes and Baptist homes and Lutheran homes, and Mama says she's saved, she's a drunk, and Daddy said he's saved, he's a pillhead, and who's going to tell that boy what the real thing is? Does anybody have a burden for that boy? Does anybody care if that boy goes to hell? No! The average preacher wants to be on the church. He ain't got time to worry about that boy going to hell. Well, thank you, Brother Wood. Who's going to go down there and stand at that schoolhouse? The lady standing down there where fire won't run over. Where's the man of God at? Couldn't we go down with a tear in our eye and say, boy, here's a fact. Son, don't go to hell. Listen. You can't even believe it. Why, them kids are already 15 years old. They're so wicked and ungodly. In the last 2 weeks, Brother Johnny, you know it's because they poured beer on our boys at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're drinking beer. They took marijuana cigarettes, broke them and poured them on our boys like that thing.
plug the smoke out of the cigarettes, and 200 of them behind the two, smoking dope and eating pills and all drunk stuff and laying on the ground. I mean just having the worst thing you ever saw in your life. And the principal said, get away from them. Can't you preach? You can't preach for them. He's talking about the Lord. I wonder what Paul would do. I really wonder.
He said, I believe what I believe you ought to obey the law.
I believe you ought to obey God. I believe you ought to obey God.
Brother John just spins his eyes and went up to the courthouse. Do we have any rights?
The other day, the man said, but on what did what he put was in. He said, no, what you're doing is not against the law. But public opinion don't want you to do it. And since they don't want you to do it, you can't do it. That's public opinion. That's what you know, it's a public opinion nowadays. Everybody thinks you're still. Is that still against the law? That's quite a public opinion, isn't it? Amen? Okay, thank you.
All right. But this society we live in, it's sick, it's under death. Listen, they never listen to God's man. They're completely ignorant of how God views. They're gone pleasure mad. That's the society you live in. And there it is right there in the 6th chapter. Now, here's the service that Noah done.
That's the society, but here's the service that he done.
God spoke to him
for God's work. He said, I want that ship so long and so wide. And God spoke to this man for his service. And I believe that our service ought to be in the church and through the church. That I believe it'll be connected to the church. I'm just a church man. I got saved in a Baptist church. I got called to preach in a Baptist church. I got married in a Baptist church. I raised my children in a Baptist church. I'm just a church person. I'll go there. You say, I don't believe in a local church. Well, you've been wrong about some other things.
But this man's service was kind of strange. Kind of a strange service. He got to praying, and God said, I need a boat. He said, what? He said, a boat. He said, what's that?
He said, one of the things that floats. He said,
it ain't never rained. You never had rain before, had you?
Huh? How's it going to float? Where's he going? But you know, maybe he got me and you. You know, the society was so wicked. He said, I don't think that works. He said, I'll tell you what I got to do. I've got to get these people motivated. I got to get me two or three buses or two or three beds or two or three buses. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you can get anything you want to. But if you get a hold of what God is, you ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to do nothing with this society we live in, honey. We got to go past that. You can get a bus, but if you don't soak that bus and pray and somebody don't get a bed, you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. We don't know what man can do.
Nothing. We better find out what God can do.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen. So this service was strange. It was kind of unique. It was kind of unusual.
You know, building a life out and they come out. What you doing?
Kind of unusual.
See something else, darling. It's completely unwanted. Nobody. And you can believe what you want to. They come by and say, oh, God bless you, Brother Tom. You're the man that has that addiction, baby. Oh, Brother Tom. And God, they hate your God. They hate your brother. Yeah. And then they talk about hypocrites. And that's all they go down, hypocrites. Said, now, God bless you, brotherhood. You're such a nice guy, you know. And when you walk off, they say, that's a little mean preacher. One lady came in our church here a while back, and she walked down the line. She said, for about 10 minutes, she couldn't take any longer. She jumped, she started to the door, and a few days later, broke by a thought. He said, how come you run off? She said, well, I didn't see anything in that reminded me of God. She said, I didn't see any angels in there. I didn't see Mary, and I didn't see nobody in there. I didn't see anything in there but an old loud mouth preacher. And you know what? A few days later, about a few months later, that woman got under conviction, and she come back. And Brother Dean said, what'd you come back for? She said, I've just been troubled ever since I was here before. And you know what our job is? My job not to save that woman. My job is to stab that woman where she'll never get over. Down the road somewhere, God will deal with it.
You ever get anything done this week? Somebody's been laying these altars at night. And they'll come a little early. And we ain't had near as much fellowship as we are talking to God if you ever get anything done.
We'll get done.
I'm telling you, this is a service. And his work was kind of strange. But his work was kind of steady. Now, it wasn't up and down, in and out. It was just kind of steady. Going, fixing to leave out. It's kind of steady. 120 years, pretty steady. Pretty steady.
Now, I'm telling you, we live in a town of unstable men. unstable in me.
I feel led of the Lord to move on down the road.
You never felt that. The only thing you need to be led of the Lord to do is find you a place and get settled in with God. Just settled in with God. Amen?
Amen, Brother Wood. I mean steady for 120 years. Now, this job didn't have no pay. And this job didn't have no position. And this job didn't have any prestige. And this job didn't have no politics. But this job had the power of God to get it done. 120 years. God's will.
God's will. It had to be done God's will. I watched,
I've written this down through years now. As I travel, I even ask people about different men. And I've watched men. I was talking to a man here a while back from Los Angeles, right outside of San Diego. And he's a member of Scott Memorial Baptist Church. And I said, Dr. Scott, I said, when you first started out, what happened?
He said, I tell you, Brother Wood, he said, I got in my mind. And for about 15 years, I've been the service man in the center. And he said, we want a lot of people to the Lord. But he said, I never saw much fruit from that thing because he said, I bypassed the local church. And he said, really, I thought the local church had backslid on God and it's all over. And he said, I ripped myself up and I took my family and I went to the service center. And I left the law, all of my boys, four boys, and I think about three of them boys are preachers now. And he said, I left the law my whole family
doing my work. I'm here to tell you something. This ain't my work. Somebody said, Brother Wood, what's going on down there in Corpus Christi since Brother Wolof died? It's getting bigger.
Do you know that Brother Wolof has moved up three pegs in the top 15 preachers of America on the radio? He's moved up three pegs since he died. Now, you want to know how much God needs you? He could probably get along better without you. A man said to me the other day, he said, well, Brother Wood, what do you think about that work? It takes $500,000 a month to run it. I'll tell you something. And you ain't behind.
I talked to Brother Cameron the other day, he said, I baptized 70-something one day here just a few weeks back. People getting saved.
760 people live on that land. Brother Wolof built that thing on the King James Bible and a local church right in the middle of it. They got buses going in that city trying to reach their people for the Lord, trying to get people saved. And if you build this thing on the King James Bible, a synod in a local church, God will bless you. And the gates of hell shut down. Hallelujah. I like you tonight. Ain't you glad you come?
Amen. Now, you might get this. Nobody didn't ask Noah to build that little boat he built, and so nobody helped him.
And so wherever you get, wherever you're going with God, you'll find out
nobody didn't stand for you, and they ain't going to help you. You'll have to do the job yourself.
And you say, somebody will just come and help me. God will.
So Jonah got over and started to preach, and he said, there ain't nobody paying my attention to me. He said, we didn't send for you.
He said, I have to do all by myself.
Yeah, that's right. You're the one God told to do it, ain't
he? I always complain about nobody wanting to help you. Well, just go ahead and do your part. And then when you get so tired you can't do anymore, he'll give you strength to do somebody else. I just don't like that. I don't either.
That's the way it is. Amen. That's service of God. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something here. This is a society that he served, and this service that he done, and here's the suffering that he experienced.
The suffering he experienced, as every man does, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was evil continually. Now, the suffering that every man experiences
is the loneliness of the job.
If I wish God would put me on top. You better watch out about that top business. I tell you, it ain't near as lonely down here at the bottom. There's a whole lot of us here. But boy, when you get to be a general, and God puts you up down to hire yourself.
That's a lonely
job. I'm going to tell you, the thing that's plagued me through the ministry is the loneliness.
I have a camp meeting, and hundreds of people come from everywhere. They flew in from California and Canada and Ohio and Florida. They came from everywhere.
And folks in Houston didn't come.
I guarantee them preachers, they wouldn't get, they just soon have a plague if they knew that shit.
And, you know, I just found out, Lord, I'm sick and tired of being lonely. I mean, what would you want to fellowship with an old backslidden preacher for? I go down to that church on Saturday night, John, and we got about 35 old boys pray every Saturday night. I have had high 50 down in the last couple months. And then men be down just laying all over them floors, just weeping and crying on Saturday night. And about 25 or 30 women over in another building, and they're over there praying, and they all laying on Saturday night just crying and praying and asking God to do something. I'd just be down there with them and be sitting around a cup of coffee, a bunch of preachers talking about somebody. That's lonely, man. You just go right there, put something just lay on them floors, pray and cry. And they love me. Everybody comes up down there loves me. I don't know why. I guess they just don't know me, but they love me.
And I mean, the baggage, they said, when you coming home?
I mean, they won't know when I'm coming home. And them baggage preachers, they hope I don't never come home. Lord. And I'm telling you, Noah found out. When you find grace, you find a lonely life.
My old wife walked up to me one time, and I was so discouraged.
Woo. I had the backside of fellowship myself. And he walked up and he said, it's not near as crowded. Around this hill as it was, wasn't it? I said, sir. He said, it's not as crowded around this whole blood-splattered hill as it was back out there in the world, wasn't it? I said, no, sir, it's not. He said, son, the closer you get to Calvary, the less folks you'll run into. I ain't never forgot that.
The closer you live to that cross, the less crowded it gets. And then, boy, it gets lonely.
On some mission station, it's lonely. And I've seen men backslide on God because they'd go there and fellowship with some ecumenical, some charismatic, just trying to find some fellowship.
And then we get up and we'll tell the world, Christ is all I need.
And fellowship. Suffering each day.
Loneliness. Long hours and long years of hard work and misunderstanding.
Works on that old hunting field in the world. Said, what you doing? He said, working for God. That don't seem like nobody's going to help you,
and you ain't got but 8 or 10. I mean, won't you quit? God told me to do it. Long hours. Didn't like that.
Now, this is the suffering. You know, I never even think about this, David. You know, Noah's mother-in-law didn't get in on that boat. That might be a blessing. But you know, I got things about that thing. You know, his uncles and cousins and nobody got on that boat. What about all the people's house? What about all the family with that? I mean, his boys got on it, his wife got on it. None of her people got on that, none of his people got on that. What all of these kinfolk
died in that flood? That's something, isn't it?
Well, that's strange. Suffering experience. And then, you know, the thing about this is it's so lengthy.
You know, you go through suffering and persecution and troubles, and you say, boy, be glad this is over. Man, I won't.
Because I done learned when this one's over, the next one's going to be worse. Sometimes when it gets so dark, I said, Lord, that's fine. That's okay. Because I know the next trial is going to be darker. And so I just
take my time about going through this trial.
Because he did say the fiery trial that shall try you.
And I've often thought that the first trial I had was the one. And I really believe that there is the fiery trial. But the last 27, I thought it was it. You didn't get that. But there's a fiery trial. There's one trial above all time. The trial of that saint of God.
Drucking a sister. But I'm going to say something.
You got to go through that sister. Because there ain't no college without the sister. There ain't no separating that old heart from the real we through getting a sister. And I'm going to tell you, God puts you in the sister, not the devil.
The devil does the sister, but he's not. Hallelujah. Look at it now. Look at it.
The suffering that he speaks.
And then the next thing I notice here is he suffered that thing. The scripture that he abided by. The Lord said, Noah, I'd like you to build this ark so long and so wide
and so tall and put a window here and a door there. He did it just exactly like God said. Didn't build no handles on the outside to hold on to the end. He just built a door and it got in. And the Bible, you know, I was looking over here tonight and it said, and Noah went in. In verse 7 of chapter 7. And Noah went in. In verse 16, and the Lord shut him in. And then the Lord lifted him above the earth. I like that. He went in, he shut in, he left out. I like that. Now I just wonder tonight, the scripture that abided, he died in. What God said is all that matters. So the day matters, it doesn't make any difference if you're ever successful. The thing is, Brother Dan, if you abide by the scripture. When I first started preaching and they used to come to us and tell us, and Bob Jones told us different, the old man. When we first started preaching, they said, well, now if you'll join this group and that group, then you'll be successful. Then you'll reach more people. You'll preach to bigger crowds and all this and that. That's not important. The important thing is doing it just like the scripture says. My wife was talking about a man, and he's been greatly used of the Lord. And my wife was showing me some pictures, and I looked at him. I couldn't go along with the pictures. I couldn't go along with nothing he does. I thank God for the soul and the faith of that man's ministry. I thank God for everything that that man's done, and he's had a real, I don't know what you would call it. I couldn't go that way. I couldn't live that way. God, I just won't give any liberty to anything like that. I believe that Noah didn't say, well, now, Lord, I could probably haul more if I build it twice as long. God said, I know exactly how long I want it. But the human man, you say, Brother Wood, God gave us sense enough to know. Well, God didn't give you sense enough to know nothing but what this book says. What this book says, you do it just like God said. Bill Scott said, I didn't do it like God said. I took my family and everything to the woods, and I went down to the Seaway Center and let the shark go where she wanted to. But he said, I found out that I was wrong, the old man.
It'd be better to find out while you're the young man.
Saved you a lot of grief and a lot of heart.
A lot of heart.
Scripture, by. He did it just like God said, and he did it as long as God said. That's very important. He did just what God said by Tom, but he done it as long as God said.
Stood on that street corner and said, come in, come in, come in. There's a little odd-looking woman downtown Houston, Brother Johnny. You've seen her come in our church numbers of times, and she carries a little handful of spice. I don't know anything about it, but she won't come. But you go downtown, you won't be there very long. And she says, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. And I've watched that woman for years and years and years. I don't know anything about it. I don't know where she goes to church. But I'll say one thing. She's been faithful a long, long time.
One day I went into a bookstore at home. This old saint of God's gone now. Miss Showalter was her name. She was on a Bible book and tract store. And I was a rare and young preacher. And she said, how you getting along, brother? Well, I said, fine. She said, well, did you preach on the radio today? And I said, yes, I did. I said, I'd give that Elizabeth Taylor down the river. Oh, she said, that poor little girl. She said, you know the Lord. Laid on my heart a long time ago. And she said, I've been praying for her since she was about 14 years old. And she said, her and I have been corresponding. And I've been sending her some gospel literature all through the years. Isn't it strange, some of us preachers, even in our toughness and meanness, and we get up and say, well, oh, Hollywood harlot. But this old saint of God is a good. You see, it wasn't a Hollywood harlot. It was a girl going to hell without God. And she writes her little letter. You ever write anybody a letter? Did you ever write anybody a letter?
I got a bad head. You know, Brother Johnny's dad, I know some bad letter one time. I wrote an evangelist daddy here one month a letter, and the daddy picked up the letter. He's a lost Catholic man down in New Orleans, and he picked up that letter and he read it. And he owns a boat company, and I told him his boy got saved and everything. His boy may be a little overzealous, and I told him about this boy and how he got saved and how he wasn't expecting it. And I told him, I said, just sir, I know you and your wife must be fine people to raise this kind of boy and get into the Christian world with God like you. That old man stood down and read that letter. Tears began to run down his face. He said, boy, did you tell that man to write me a letter? He said, most of that. I never told that man that shit once. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, he didn't have nothing to do with that boy. This big rich man, he called that boy and he said, I'll tell you what's wrong. He said, Glenn, I believe. He said, you want that brand new old your son? And he said, yeah. You know that, I'm raggedy evangelist without nothing. He said, you had it just waiting for you. 2 months later, he called him and he said, Glenn, I won't know how much money you paid income tax on last year, he told him. He said, if you don't buy me doing it, he said, I'd like this carriage on the book here for $1,000 a month. He said, you want to come in and work once in a while when you're home? Okay, but he said, your wife will get a check $200 a week from now on. Just a letter. It didn't hurt that bad. He said, I don't think you're going to take that check. I didn't have any problem taking Papa's money. I wouldn't want to take the world's money. If my daddy wouldn't help me in his office, I'd be all right. I wouldn't say, no, you can't help me. Well, Scott, you need to get saved. I see most of them going to hell, right now. That old daddy, you know what it is? God told him that letter. And now, I just like to like him like it. I like to like people personally. But sometimes I just like to write people letters off in distant cities that's been a blessing to me and say, dear sir, a dear lady, dear whoever it is. I just pretend to, and the universe is good for God. Sometimes in dark hours, people get a letter like that, but in church. Maybe it's a little cell phone call. My wife said, do you know how much your cell phone is? I said, don't tell me. Scripture about his life. I'll tell you something. He quit when God said to him. He didn't have, need a vision from God to build that thing. He had him a verse. And a verse is a lot better than a vision. Amen, the Lord. Some of us Baptists are looking for a call. I better get you a verse. Well, when that call gets mounted dim in your mind, you can go back to that verse and read it again. If you got that verse, you lay that on the devil, I'll handle it.
I better get off of that. I'll give that some other time. Scripture abided by it. Now,
you'll notice Noah here. His sufficiency is in God.
John, the theme song of our church for years has been, Christ is all I need. But that's not so in the Christian world. Christ is all I need and preach. I've heard people just say, well, what if I didn't preach, I'd just be backslidden. No, you're already backslidden. You don't know it.
Christ is all I need and teach the Sunday school class. Christ is all I need to be a pastor of the church.
Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Period.
Nothing else. If you add anything else to that, you've added to the Lord Jesus.
When I first got saved, Tom, I remember when I first got saved, man, I told my wife, I said, she wasn't saved. I said, man, it's wonderful to be saved. I mean, I met the Lord Jesus, and it was something personal, an old junkie, an old bad drug addict, an old criminal. I mean, got saved. And woke up the next morning with a piece of God in my heart. And I'd run to that bag, and I had a little zipper Bible, just like I got right here, and I'd read that thing, and she said, God, you sure read a lot? Man, I just read books out of the Bible. I mean, I had been saved no time. I done went through that Bible. I started looking at it again. I said, man, this is wonderful. I ain't never been to nobody's church. I ain't never been around none of God's people. I said, man, this is wonderful. But you know what? Through all this premillennial doctrine, and I love that doctrine, and AD 1611, we just about run all of the Jesus out of us. And it's just about to become a religion, though.
I believe the Bible. I am a Bible believer. You believe that verse where it said, and they went from house to house? You believe that verse where it said they gave all? You believe that verse? You believe that? Yeah, there's a lot of verses in there to believe. You say you believe that? Christ is all sufficient. No ability at all. The mother must say, you're going to have all them kids, man, what? He said, yes, ma'am, that's right. He's all I need. He's all just kept building and praying and working and stretching. What do you mean? He said, I just want to do something for God. You're full of the devil. You can't do nothing for God. If you'll ever get quiet, I'll tell you what, he'll do something for you. You can't have a lot. You can't have. We live in a time of activity. And, you know, an old Englishman, I won't call a man's name, but he's a great preacher. He gets up on the pew and he runs back there and back here and back down there. And he said, we do something in the church. And he's English, but he said, and he's Hispanic. And he said to me, my brother, something's a well. He said, man, it's you. My brother, how do you think man is doing? This great teacher does thank this stuff. But my brother, is it you? My brother, a lot of flesh. I didn't say you to come to church and do something. God's so little committed to meet somebody. We need to get a friend. And our Heavenly Father. Well, you can ask me anything about my daddy, John. I can tell you. Hey, John, I can tell you when he was born and where he was born and where his daddy was born and when my granddaddy was born and what war was fought in. I can take you back when they fought the British, John, and tell you all about him. I'm acquainted with the Woods Club. My granddaddy was born in 1855 in Boston, New Jersey. Mary Joanna was my grandmother, born in 1861, the year the war broke out in Boston. I know exactly where my people came from. They came over from England. I know exactly where they came from. They said they lived up there standing between them Scotsmen and when they were fighting. They said them woods, as they call them, the woods people, because they lived in the woods and stole from the British and stole from the Scots, stole from the Scottish, stole from the British. If you ever find the woods, he's leading the horse. I don't care what.
How come you're interested in your stock? That's my father.
When I got saved, I want to know about my father. I want to get acquainted with him.
I want to find out what kind of inheritance he left me. What I had coming and what I didn't have coming. What he expected out of me and what he didn't expect out of me. I want to know something about my father. But I want to tell you that I found out he's all sufficient.
Well, Ted! Get away from us. I said, yes, sir. He said, come closer. And I read a little old book one time, and I don't even remember much about the book, but I read L.E. Maxwell's book on Pride of the Christ. And Maxwell said, when the world and religion begin to crowd down with us, it can crowd you too fast, or it can crowd you completely away from Christ. And that's it.
So you can either get crowded to him, away from him. And the question is, where you at? Away from me or to? He said, teacher, I'm going through some trials. Yes. Welcome to the club. I hate to tell you this, but that's where the Lord is at. The Bible says the disciples were in the storm, and they knew not that it was the Lord. You let the waves roll.
And you know, it even said, they told him that the ship was full of water. So when it gets full, it's about time to get out. Somebody said, you know why Peter sunk? I said, sure. He got out of the boat. Yeah, there ain't no foolish thing right now. Oh, you said the reason he sunk was when he got his eyes out. Well, the reason he sunk, he got out of the boat. He said, hey, what God tell him to do? What did God tell him to do? Get in that boat and go to that other side. And when the boat got full,
He said, Lord, I'd like to walk on the water. Well, all he had to do is get in the boat and start walking around. It's full. Amen? It's running full. I thought when it's full, that means it's running out. And when you're in a boat in the middle of the ocean, it's running out. It's time to get out. But God always goes contrary to such and such. God said, get in that boat and go to the other side. I don't know how much water you put in there, or how many holes you put in there. God told you, get in that boat and go to the other side. That boat's going to the other side. Amen. Well, your problem is staying in that boat when the storm comes, the water comes, everybody's falling asleep, and you don't think God's around. He's right there. Well, he said, I'll never leave. He's right there. He falls to teach you.
I'm not closed. I know you don't think I am. I'm afraid that I went to sleep. But his sufficient is in God. He had a wonderful ministry, had a wonderful family.
He even made a wonderful trip. He said, poor old no. Poor old got a floating zoo.
Think myself.
I don't know if it could have got kind of smelly along the way, but it was wonderful. Amen? I've often wondered who used the shovel. I bet it was.
Amen?
But he landed. Oh, God, I'm having trouble stepping there. But he had
a wonderful landing place. Well, then he looked around and he said, I wonder where the rabbis at. I wonder where Dr. Smoon out there.
Where are all them preachers at? I don't even see their church anymore. Oh, I was afraid. Well, well, well. Ain't nobody here but me and God. He just said, they told me I was praying. I got the whole thing now. Thank God, God's going to clean it up. He walked around and around. He said, I wonder where that bunch of reprobates is at. Hey, God. Hey, one of these days, I'm going to wake up in another world.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to be there. Ain't going to be none of these monstrosities there. Ain't going to be none of this stubborn society there. Ain't going to be no suffering experience. Hey, we're headed to another world. He had a wonderful land. Now, I want you to notice something, if you will. His sufficient was in God, but he was successful. He made the whole thing. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. Paul said about 11 chapters of the book of Hebrews, when he put all his Hall of Famers in there, you know. See? All them Hall of Famers in there. He said, Noah being warned of God, prepared an ark for the saving of the time. Think about that just a minute. Think about this just a minute. He was successful.
You said, Brother Jack, more than anything, Brother Johnny, you won't mind.
Brother John finished college and the pastoral church 3 or 4 years. I preached in a little meeting, and one day I was off in Florida somewhere preaching, and the wife called me and said, Brother John's down in Houston. I said, Brother John Thompson's over here. I said, well, I said, what's that Indian doing? She said, oh, no, not that John Thompson. She said, that's the John Thompson. We got one big John Thompson, and we got this little John Thompson. And the big John Thompson weighs about 350. And I said, what's he doing now? She said, well, he said, God told him to come here. He's been there about 7 years now. And you know, he'd meet his preacher friends around the country, and they said, what are you doing? He said, now with Brother Jack Wood. A year went by, 2 years went by, and said, people say, well, aren't you sometimes want to get it for the ministry? You know, just reading, singing to Brother Wood, winning souls, teaching in a Bible school. Wouldn't you like to get into the ministry? Half the people saying that don't even know what the ministry is. And if they run square head on into it, they wouldn't know how to do it. And so through them years of experience, saying, let's say with me, Brother John, never one time, 7 years has passed now, and God has led him into something else and opened the doors for him, and people are being saved, and he meets some of his friends. We have 281 and a half in Sunday school. Average last year, 282 and a third. Do you happen to know a church that people recommend me to? One boy said to my son-in-law, he said, your brother Jack's a sister. Don't you ever get lonesome to be in the parsonage again? He was in his fifth one in the last 6 years. And some of the wives, Brother Johnny, they think he went out of ministry. You know, leading something for God's man,
back to you. Then this boy, we traveled up and down this lane from the length of it to the back of it. We've been to the lower top of it, to the bottom of it, we've been at it. Since I've been in Florida, they called me, they asked me to come to California. I don't know it all. Only the Lord knows. I ain't going to go around and give out now. When are you going to get in the ministry that time? Don't you know that?
The ministry, I told some of them today, I had a man teaching for me. He had about 40 in the Sunday school class. I taught it last Sunday, he had 130 in me. That's Sunday week ago. And he told me, he said, I've got to get into the ministry. He's in his third church now in the last 6 years. Ain't never had over 25. And all 25 at each place was so happy when he left. I wonder why a guy runs off and gets 25 when he already had 35 years. He's got a good job here paying. He don't have all the responsibility. And he's winning souls and God says, I've got to get into the ministry. No, you know wrong. What you want you approve of it so you can exercise out of power of it. Did you think I'd miss enough to handle it? It'd be like handling dynamite. You blow something up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Successful. So he was used of God to perform a miracle. And what happened in Noah's day was a miracle. He gone. They said, where's he going? Some guy standing in the tree said, where's he going? Some guy then climbed to the top of the mountain and said, woo, look over yonder. There goes that old crazy preacher in that boat. He performed a miracle. I'm going to tell you something. God used him to save the world. Strange how God was. A little nobody. I mean, that guy ain't no guy. He's a fellow's back. He's got a hand full. That's a whole lot of God that gets a hold of him. Did you ever read that verse of scripture where that boy had them five sardines and two biscuits and God got a hold of them things and blessed them and prayed out of Christ? He said, God ain't never done that for me. He ever had them five biscuits and two sardines in his hand? Sometimes we put in God's hand, we pick it up and take it with us. And we bring it back, we put it in God's hand, we take it back. And we bring it down, put it over all of us, we pick it up and take it back home. And never committed to God. And Noah said, well, I don't know how to do anything else. I'm not much of a preacher anymore. I'm the richer. Come and jump this little boat. And he opened the door, and they all got in. He sat down. And he wasn't putting a ring in his hand. Where are you? And he wondered if he had the real salvation or not. And the Bible said, shut that door. Rain began to trickle down. Ooh. And you'll notice that all the judgment was on the ark, not on the inside. And that thing was going through the storm and every tree or mountain, whatever it hit, and whatever it bumped against, took all the shock. The Lord said, ride free by grace. Lord, by grace. And God knew he didn't save the world. You've got no idea tonight what God has got for you. Your job is to prepare the ark. It's God's job to save the world. And I thought, my wife and I went to Houston and opened the work up in 57, and the world said, you're not educated enough. I said, amen. And they said, you're not smart enough. And I said, amen. And they said, you don't have enough Bible for him. I said, amen. You know, sometimes it's better to agree with your adversary. They said, you're crazy. I said, amen. They said, you don't know nothing. Amen. Okay. I know God. The old preacher left around. He told me, he said, you ain't never told him I said nothing. You preach too loud. You've got a direct way of speaking. You've got to kind of get in directly to this thing. Kind of sneak up on it. I ain't trying to sneak up on nobody. I'm trying to hit you right square in your nose. When I fight, I don't try to sneak around here and punch you a little bit here. I'm going to hit you right square in your nose and kick you through. That's all I know. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to die right. You'll put your foot. He's in heaven tonight. Why won't he pick me up a million times and trump me close? I appreciate you, man. But he said, Jack, I had Mordecai Ham one time. He said, he tore my face up.
And I'm telling you, you've got to deal with those people. He said, I broke off. He said, I went to school with him, but said, he said, I was down there then. Said, I heard him say this. I said, I heard him say that if God wanted you to smoke, he'd put a chimney on top of your head. And he said, that ain't the way he talks to God's people. The Lord began to lead me in. My wife puts a little old tent up, 57. Father began to preach. And I never will forget, there's a man laying down tonight in Houston. I saved another old tent, Bill Fassler. Old Claude Pilgrim, member of my church tonight. I was in 57. In 60, old Brother Whitford still out with me. He got saved in 60. My, the Lord. I baptized his wife, my organist now, baptized in 60. Them girls were saved. I look across that congregation sometimes. And Sunday morning I went there, and we run between 250 and 300 every Sunday morning. And that preacher told me that when he died here a while back. He asked my dad to come over and preach the sermon. One of the 14 people left. So building right again. It was awful. I wasn't happy about it, though. Big old white columns out in front of the church turned nice to that lady. And they sold it to the Mexican people. And they went on and made a beautiful church, and I'm so glad. It's a testimony place. But that's where we grew up as kids. So, Jack, you don't put preaching on people. You'll never be a success. And I preached for 20 years, like you said, nobody came. And then 25 years. And then when I passed that 25-year marker, I just got to look for it. I don't see God. Another day, one of the big men in America, and it don't mean a thing to me, except I said to the Lord, I said, you heard what they said? The man called me from Dallas, and he said, would you come hold me a meeting, Jack, in January of 85? And I said, yes, sir. And I told Rabbi, and I said, that's the first one of those big churches I ever got into. First one they let me preach. And so, he heard me preach around the conference, and he said, I want you to come preach. That man taught me in Bible. The old brother told me, said, you don't quit looking at people like straight in the face and pointing your finger at them. You're going to wind up with no place to preach. And my old brother, he wound up the building falling in on him. He lost all of his children. And the boy surrendered the same day I did and said God called him to preach. And then later, his wife left him and he said he was an infidel. He didn't believe there was a God. I said, my. The old gentleman's wrong. It's crazy, a mixed up world. When Noah found grace, Johnny looking like fine and preached. And God done what he wanted to with Noah. Noah didn't tell God what to do. God told Noah what to do. What we're doing today, preacher boy, we're telling God what to do. But God's looking for some men and he can tell what to do. He's looking for a lady. He said, lady, go next door and do so and so. They were successful.
Jesus said, I'm going to tell you about Noah. For a time I've often wondered about it. When John the Baptist died, Jesus said, he never even went to his funeral. Strange, isn't it? He went to the widow woman's boy, funeral. He went to Lazarus. I wonder why he didn't go to John. But you know what he said? He said, there ain't never been a man born to woman greater than John. Hey, that wasn't Brother John Thompson or Jack Woods giving him a recommendation. That was the Lord Jesus Christ in that.
We turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and the Apostle Paul says, I'd like to tell you about an old man named Noah. Fear God in his heart. He prepared an ark for the seed of his house. God said, write that down, Paul, I like that. Jesus said something about a great man. Paul said something about a great man.
And neither one of them ever had 30 people. Isn't that strange? Now, if they had 1,000, he'd understood that in this day and time. But
They didn't have anybody. And everybody John had was leaving and going over there to be with Jesus. And they said, hey, all of your disciples are leaving. He said, yeah, I must decrease. He must increase. You get it? We don't want to
decrease. We want to increase. Let's pray.
I believe the Lord wants us to pray. Everyone praying. Just a moment. Just a moment. I want to pray.
Used of God to save a world. Used of God to doom the wicked.
The other day in Houston, Texas, Brother John joined arms with three other men. Thousands upon thousands of homosexuals. And then marched through the crowd, arm in arm, screaming, the wrath of God. The wrath of God's coming. God rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. The seal and the doom of the wicked. For Noah did. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you ever accomplish anything as a missionary, if you ever accomplish anything as a young man of God, young lady, if you ever accomplish anything, it'll be because of the grace of God. You know that, but you've never experienced it. But God will let you experience this. Now God wants to do something to your heart tonight. Wants to take it and mash it and crush it and stomp it and till all the juice runs out of your eyeballs that you've never seen before. When all of it's stomped and crushed, God will pick up them pieces and use it as the master craftsman. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God tonight and the grace of God. There's those here, Lord, who are saved that's never really got involved in the work of God. Never becomes burden for a sick, sick society. We look at the young people and criticize them. We look at the Cassius Clays and the Muhammad Ali's and criticize them as they march into hell. We look at the movie stars that live wicked and even many times forget to ever, ever pray for them. And Lord God, you said, call unto me and I will answer thee. God, make us praying people. Raise up some praying people that can get a hold of God and get a hold of God for a lost world tonight. This town, Lord, has been preached to and been preached out over the radio, and that church is on every corner and she's still going to hell tonight. And if somebody don't stop and pray, she'll be on the way to hell the next time we come back. But oh God, tonight, may you raise up some intercessors tonight. It will stand between you and a godless world and say, oh God, do something in my day that the world won't even believe. Speak, Lord. Speak tonight to some drooping heart here tonight. They might find grace to go on with God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Why don't you just bow your head? Just bow your head reverently and listen to Brother John as he sings. Darling, he's everything you'll ever need. A weary soldier. He's all the refreshment you'll ever need. Man of the world, he's all the wealth. Let God speak to your heart.
everything you need. He's all sufficient. Well, John, lead the whole congregation. Let's all sing it. Some are coming. Some people are kneeling in the altar. I believe everybody ought to sing this song here. You'll write it for the week over. Years ago, in our family, there was a man named Pink Lindley. He was a gypsy, he was a traveler, and he was the worst drunkard that I guess I ever knew. And one day on the street corner in Corsicana, Texas, somebody got to Pink Lindley and told old Pink about the Lord, and he got saved. He was about 55. When he got saved, and being a gypsy and a traveler, he'd never been to school. Old Pink got saved. Put the mark of the Bible in the 3rd chapter of John. And Pink would walk around with the Bible in his hand. Couldn't read one word of it. Didn't have any idea what it said. He told all of our family and our friends, said, read right there. They'd read that 3rd chapter of John. He'd turn them over to 2 or 3 other chapters. He had Martin come read that. He'd get out and pray with them. God used Pink Lindley to win many a man to God. Well, John Ingalls, the first cousin of mine, he saved tonight. John can't read a word. But the Lord Richardson got saved, one of the wickedest men I ever knew. They went to San Antonio, went out to a camp. A bunch of gypsy wasn't got 22 people. Took them one night to the Belvedere Baptist Church, Brother Jack Roltan, the pastor, walked in there with 22 unsaved gypsy boys and girls. That night, every one of them got saved. I mean, every one of them. Jack Roltan told me, said, I thought I had an invasion of charismatics. They were all sinners coming to God. What happened? Well, Pink Lindley got saved. And old Pink had kneeled down to pray, but Tom, and he said, Lord, it's old Pink again. Every time he ever prayed, he said, dear Lord, it's old Pete again. Pete's sister died. He went to the funeral. Told everybody there how to be saved. He got them all in there, and he said, I want you all to kneel down. I just want to pray for you. Old Pete kneeled down to pray, and he said, dear God, it's old Pete again. Everybody waited for him to say something else. They looked up, and old Pete and went home. He died right there on his knees. You know how Pete found out? He didn't need no education. He didn't need no Bible school training. He didn't even know how to read. He won half of his family to God and sinners by the multitudes in the whole country. Was talking about, man, did you ever meet Pink Lindley? Got out of the place one day and said, whoop. We said, good morning, Lord. How are you doing? Sure, it's good to see you. Face to face. One day, me and you gonna lay down. And I hope when we go, we're saying, Lord, it's me again. You know me, Lord, I've always needed you. Me. Let's sing one other verse that brother Johnny. To the Lamb. All I need. That's Thank you.
I knew.
He's not all of your wants. He's all of your needs. He's not all of your wants, but He is all of your needs. My mother said to me good many years back, I was kind of young and full of energy, kind of a tiger. And she said, "You know, Jack," she said, "my Jesus and your Jesus seems to be two different people." She said, "You see Him coming with a sword." And she said, "I see Him coming with nail-pierced hands." I thought about that through the years while I was. This young man, you might see him as a lion from the tribe of Judah, and he is. Don't let me mislead you. He is. But all the way through the book of Revelation, Tom, it still says, "Behold the Lamb." And there's never a time in time or eternity where He ever ceases to be the Lamb. God bless you, my Tom.
Thank you, Brother Jack. And I tell you what, we're not going to give any more invitation. We're going to go home. Amen. Now, before you go, let me ask you to do this. You want these revival folks? Take that home with you. Either give it to someone, or call someone, or visit someone, and get them to come to the meeting tomorrow night. Will you do that? I'd just be faithful. Maybe you say, "Well, I got to go somewhere else tomorrow night." How about Thursday night, Friday night? Amen. Just get somebody to the meeting, especially somebody that's untouched. God will bless you if you'll just obey. Call somebody, invite someone. Just take that post as a reminder that you need to do something else. Amen. And let's do that. All right? All right. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. And we appreciate all of our visitors. We appreciate you coming tonight. Somebody to be with you. I'm going to ask Brother Delaney, the missionary, Ireland, if you're with us tonight. Brother Delaney, you ask God to bless the meeting and dismiss us for this month. Amen.